Did you?
Really?
Whew. That's good. Had to prepare for that one next time. That was good. We sang that one because it kind of goes along with what we're going to talk about tonight. So that was the idea with that. Yes. Genesis. Yes, sister. Do you have a comment, sister? remember Ladies Fellowship Tuesday. Woo! We got a taker. We got a couple takers here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Who else is coming? You at home, are you coming? Right. Ladies Fellowship Tuesday, 6 o'clock. And we've got some public ministry going on Friday and Thursday. And if I can find my notes here, they're there. Da, 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 da. Okay, those are the announcements. Ladies Fellowship, public ministry. What? What do you got? Okay. Oh, good. Ready to go. We got public ministry right now, back in the sound room. It's happening. Genesis chapter 10. I'm trying to be a little bit exciting as best I can right now because what we're going to talk about is more information. So it's not like inspirational or anything. So I'm trying to be inspirational before the message. Genesis chapter 10. But I will say what we're going to look at, if you understand some of the beginnings here in Genesis, then it really helps lay the foundation for the rest of the Bible. And the understanding the Old Testament is just foundational because the New Testament is built on the Old Testament. And there's so many things here that are just assumed as you go on in the Bible. But if you don't get what's assumed in the beginning, then you don't know where you're at. So Genesis 10, all that said, tonight is going to be a little class, a little study, and understanding the nations, of which the United States is a nation, and the nations, how God deals with the nations, and that sort of thing, and the, you know, some of the definitions of nations and things like that. But Genesis chapter 10, verse 1, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, I'll just give you the first few verses and the last few verses. It says, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarma, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands." That's important. "By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. Then you have a fellow named Nimrod." Let's keep reading, verse 6. "Sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim, and Put and Canaan. Sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah and Sabta and Rama and Sabteca. And the sons of Rama, Sheba and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech," which you know that name, just not that spelling. You know Iraq. That's what that is, Iraq, Erech. "And Erech and Akkad and Calne in the land of Shinar." So you know where that is. That's over there in Iraq. That's where Babel is and all that, which we'll discuss probably next week. "Out of that land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh." So Nineveh is an ancient city. "And the city of Rehoboth and Calah and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same as a great city. Skip down to verse 32, very last verse in the chapter. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. All right, so all this chapter, God describes the situation and the overspreading of the earth with the nations and the population after the flood. And you'll see Babel in Genesis chapter 11, people gathering together and things like that, which we'll discuss next week. But there's sort of a process or the way the Lord describes things in these chapters. He'll give you the narrative of the situation, and then he'll point to a man like Noah, and then he'll say, this man, he finds grace in the eyes of God, and then the Lord's going to do something with that man. And then now he's going to describe all the nations. In the next couple chapters, he's going to point to a man called Abraham, who he's going to draw out of the nations. And so the Lord finds these men, and interestingly enough, like we said before, Noah was 10 generations from Adam. Abraham's going to be 10 generations from Noah and all that stuff. But this study this evening, I'm just going to look at the nations, because this is the description of the nations in the earth and how they populate the earth. And you could follow each of these men and their children and where they go and the areas they populate and things like that, and kind of figure out who they are and all that sort of thing. But let's pray, and we're going to do a little a study on nations in the Bible, and hopefully it's helpful to you. But Father, I pray that you would help us this evening, help us get what we need out of these verses. These are foundational verses. From here on, things will be described in these terms that you're laying out here at the beginning in Genesis. And I pray that we'd understand your view of nations. And you've put it in writing. And we're just feeble messengers here, Lord. But I don't know. I don't have any expertise in any of this, but I just try to put together what you've said about nations, and I pray it'd be a help to folks, and even those that are watching. But I thank you for those that are here, and each soul that's here, I pray you'd bless each soul for being here, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. It talks about the nations and the Gentiles, and just to kind of give away the first part of this, the name Gentiles just means nations. That's all that means. It's just nations. And I'll show you a couple cross references that give you that indication in the Bible. But before we get there, notice a few things about nations in Genesis chapter 10. First is nations in verse 5, he says, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. So apparently nations have borders. So borders are an important thing to a nation. That's, for some reason, that's not a concept to some folks, but it's not that they don't understand the concept, it's that the concept doesn't fit the political ideas and the way they want to manipulate the political system. But everyone understands if you don't have borders, you don't have a nation. And so here's a description. Nations have geographical boundaries. Some are natural boundaries, either rivers or bodies of water or mountains or just lines drawn somewhere. But nations have geographical boundaries. Over there in Genesis 10:10, it talks about Nimrod and his kingdom, and it describes the geography of his kingdom and where it was. And you understand that's not a major point or anything, but it's in the Bible, and it's a reality that nations have boundaries, and they have to have boundaries, otherwise they're not defined as nations. Second thing is, nations have languages, and people are known by you know, the languages, that the tongues that they come from, Chinese or Russian or Spanish or things like that. And the Lord's going to eventually confuse the tongues here, the languages in Genesis 11, but we're not there yet. But the point is, these men, these folks that are laid out in Genesis 10, they go their ways, and they're going to be divided up not only by geography, but divided up by how they talk, how they speak. And language is an interesting thing. I mean, it's interesting to learn why words are put together the way they are, and the philosophy behind that. And there is a real method behind those things, those types of things. But I want you to notice in verse 5, the first time the word tongues is used. And that's important because for some reason when you get to the New Testament, all of a sudden tongues becomes to some people just kind of a babbling. It's just like just doesn't make any sense. But from the very beginning, a tongue was just a language. It's just what people spoke. And so he says there in verse 5, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue. That's that. You understand that just means a language. That doesn't mean people are babbling or just saying all kinds of crazy things and calling it spiritual. You understand that tongues means languages. It means languages here. And it means languages when you get to Acts chapter 2. It means languages there as well. It just means languages. And it's pretty well laid out there in Acts chapter 2. But this is the first time this shows up. So nations have linguistic boundaries. They have geographical boundaries. They have linguistic boundaries. And he also says they were divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families in their nations. So nations also have common family names. If I said Hernandez, you would know that's probably not a Chinese name. That's something else. If I said O'Malley, you would say, okay, maybe Irish or something like that. But you understand nations have their family names as well. So those are just some divisions among the nations and how God separated the nations. And he says over there in Acts chapter, I can't remember it now, but I don't remember the reference, it just came to mind, but Acts, he says he divided the nations and gave every nation, basically put them in the place that they are, and the point was that they would happily seek after God. And you'll see in Genesis 11 when nations start getting together, it's sort of a humanistic deal, and God's going to have to, he'll do something about it here. But anyhow, here's nations. Look in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, because he used the term Gentiles. He used that term Gentiles, and here's how that term is defined in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 1 says, nevertheless, Isaiah 9:1, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. So those last few words are important. In Galilee of the nations. Now look over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 15 for a cross reference. Matthew chapter 4, verse 15, just to let the Bible define itself here, and you can understand what God means when he says Gentiles. He just means nations. So Isaiah 9:1 said, Galilee of the nations. All right, here it is quoted in Matthew chapter 4, verse 15. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. So you see that Gentiles and nations is the same thing. That means the same thing. So when God says Gentiles, he just means the nations of people in the earth. Now, a couple of things about that. And I don't want to get too far ahead in Genesis, but just to understand, God will call out Abraham out of the nations. And with Abraham, he will create a nation that he creates. Remember, Abraham, Sarah, they can't have children. So he's going to call a man out of the nations, Abraham, in a couple chapters, and he is going to take that man and create a nation that was never around before. And he's going to create that nation, and it will be named after Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And so it'd be named Israel, and that nation will be the nation truly, really one nation under God. That will be the nation that's under God, that nation of Israel. And the reason God's going to do that, pull Abraham out of the nations and use Abraham to create a nation, is to first of all be a light to the other nations, because there was a problem with all the nations. The Gentiles, the nations, didn't naturally just seek after God. And I think you understand that. I mean, that's pretty clear. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 how this is described. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. Remember, the Gentiles are just their nations. And God will pull one man, Abraham, out of the nations and create a nation for himself. And he will give that nation boundaries, geographical location. He will give that nation a language. He will give that nation a name, all of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. So here's the condition of the nations. This is what the nations do. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. So in general, the way of nations is nations just follow devils. That's a pretty rough statement, but that's the way nations are. Devils are very, you know, they're very popular figures and very much at the center of where the money is and things like that. We could talk about that a little bit more, but the point is nations follow after devils. And that's just the way the Gentiles do things. They give it to you another time. Look in chapter 12 here, verse 2. He says in chapter 12, verse 2, 1 Corinthians, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. This is just the way nations do things. They don't have any spiritual insight on life. They create their own worship services. They create their own idols. They worship their own idols. And what God's going to do is create a nation that literally has God as their God. That's why you see over and over the God of Israel or the God of Jacob in the Bible, because when it relates to the Gentiles don't have God as their God. They just sacrifice the devils and they just roam around in the darkness, so to speak. So here it is, look in Ephesians chapter 2, another little New Testament commentary on this situation with the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision. So that's what the Jews would call Gentiles, just uncircumcised dogs and things like that. by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Remember, Israel's a nation completely created by God. And all the promises, all the covenant, the scriptures, everything was given to Israel. All right, but all the other nations weren't treated that way. That at that time, verse 12, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So God's intention was he would, through the nation he creates, he will show up in that nation as the Christ, and then he will die for the sins of the world and then resurrect and offer life to whoever would believe him. And so that's a real condensed version of it, but that's the idea. And so from day one back there, the Lord had this plan, and he would create this nation and do these things. And so the nations don't have the same relationship to God that Israel has. And I know we've talked about that, and you understand that. You probably read it in the Bible. But sometimes we read in the Bible about God's promises and things like that. And sometimes he's specifically dealing with his promises to Israel as a nation, and it's not a general promise to everybody. It's not our nation, the United States of America, doesn't have any promise of surviving by God. It doesn't have any promise of being a nation when Jesus Christ returns. And I don't want to be like sound, you know, like I'm trying to be mean or harsh with it. But the fact is, you could say that about any nation except Israel. Israel has a promise that Israel, when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to Jerusalem, and he will reign in the nation, in that geography that he gave to Abraham. And so Israel's the only one that could claim any of that eternal security as far as a nation is concerned. And so the Gentiles don't have that promise or anything like that. Couple of other things here. You're in Ephesians, look in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." By the way, all the prophets and the he talked about holy prophets and apostles. Those were all Israeli men. Scriptures were written by Jewish men. And that was the point. That was the idea. God would use that nation to be a light to the Gentiles. Look in verse 6. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." So there would be a promise, not just, and one of the things that Israel couldn't figure out or didn't understand or didn't want to understand was that they are a light to other nations, and then what God was going to do in Israel, if you accepted it by faith, if you trusted Jesus Christ, if you trusted, of course, Jesus Christ when he came, but if you trusted God, you trusted the words of God, that anybody, whosoever will, would come. And so Israel seemed to think that just because they had all those benefits, that they were the only ones that had the blessings, and everybody else was just kind of dirty dogs. And there's some truth to it, but the reality is a lot of the ones in Israel didn't even have faith, and so they lost out on the promises. So the Gentiles get in on the promises of God by faith, and over he talks about Gentiles, and what he says, he just means the nations. These are just other nations that are outside of of Israel, so to speak. Let's go to the Old Testament. I give you a couple of these things in the Old Testament about how God handles nations. Look in Jeremiah chapter 18. This is a general statement that God makes to nations through Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 7. Some of the statements made, like in the law, for instance, when you read the law describes a lot of how God instructs a nation to conduct itself, particularly Israel. And he deals with all sorts of aspects of life. Here's Jeremiah chapter 18, but here's a general sermon to nations. Jeremiah 18, verse 7. It says, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So that's God just dealing with nations. He says, if I decide I'm going to uproot a nation, and the nation decides they're fearing for their lives, and they say, we need to get right with God, and they do what Nineveh did, and they turn things around in their nation, the Lord says, okay, well, I'll back off on judgment, and I won't pluck it up. And on the other hand, if I decide I'm going to plant a nation, and I set out to plant this nation or kingdom, and the nation decides they don't want anything to do with me, then I will repent of the good I was going to do for it, and I'll let the thing fall apart. So this is a general statement of how God handles nations and how he's going to treat nations and their life cycles, so to speak, how they exist and how they live out their lives. Here's another one. Look over in Psalms chapter 9. You're probably familiar with this verse. Psalms 9. I just got a couple more here we'll look at. Psalms 9. And verse 16. Psalms 9:16. Well, yeah, we could start earlier than that, but I tell you what, look in verse 15. Says, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. Boy, that's the truth. That's the truth. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Haggion, Selah. And then he says this, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Wow. So you want to drive God out of every aspect of your life, a nation formally driving God out of aspects of their government, out of aspects of their education, out of aspects of their finance. You drive God out, and the Lord says, well, I will let you live without me. Then I'll let the thing burn down. And that is a statement not to Israel. That's a statement to the nations. The wicked should be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, which is, that's quite a statement. I mean, if it's just a matter of forgetting God, it's not a matter of hating God. He didn't say, if you hate me, I'll turn you into hell. He said, if you forget me, if you forget who I am, if you forget me in your daily life, if you forget me in your education, if you forget me in your business, if you forget me in your government, if you forget me in your medicine, if you forget me in your nation, I will let you have exactly what you want, a godless society. I'll let you have that. And this thing, it'll burn itself down. So, unfortunately, and he mentioned, you don't have to turn there, one of the nations that he uses as an example early on is Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboam, and all that. And he says, this is an example. I'm going to make this an example. And he says that over in Jude. He says, the burning down of Sodom and Gomorrah was set up as an example so other nations would follow. And they would watch and see. And so the nations would either fear when they hear about Sodom and Gomorrah and they would turn from what they're doing, or unfortunately, some nations, some folks in our nation, hear about sodomy and sodomites and they make it a joke. They just turn it into sort of a pride and we just sort of make it a kind of a joke and in some pockets and some areas of the nation. And so the Lord set up, he said in Jude 7, he said, Sodom and Gomorrah is an example of how I handle nations. And when a nation gets to that point, he says, I will burn the thing down, or it'll be consumed. So here's how the Lord, you're hearing a lot of judgment, that's important because one of the things that's said about God, as far as Gentiles are concerned, as far as nations are concerned, is we really, our relationship to God as a nation is essentially, from a heathen perspective, is we only know God as a judge. Israel knew God as a savior, someone who came in and parted the Red Sea and brought redemption through a nation and fed them in the wilderness. Whereas the heathen nations, we never had that. We just knew if we got out of line, we just got thumped. And that was what we knew about God. And that's what he says over there in Psalm 9. He says, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. That's true of heathen nations, of Gentile nations. That's true. Because we don't have that relationship with God. We weren't pulled out of Egypt through the Red Sea. We weren't given the scriptures. We were given a law of by God off of a mountaintop through Moses and how to conduct our business. We sort of put the thing together and tried to figure it all out. And if the nation did wrong, then we kind of got thumped. Now, I would say definitely people that started this nation, they sought out the Lord and they tried to get some guidance on how to do things. And that's good, and you got to do that. But as far as our relationship to the Lord, it's not like Israel's relationship to the Lord. They saw the grace of God. They saw regular deliverance. They saw regular answered prayers, all those kinds of things. And in general, the nations just know God as a judge. That's why you hear it all the time when you talk about the Bible and church. And you know what people say? Why you got to be so judgmental? That's what they understand about God. He's just a judge. He just makes judgments on people. And so Israel's a little bit different. They knew God as a savior and as a redeemer. But the nations didn't know him that way. So there's a different relationship. Here's another one. Look in Proverbs 28 and verse 2. This is a little more hopeful, I guess. Maybe. Proverbs 28 and verse 2. So way back in Genesis 10, the earth is overspread with the nations, with Gentiles. And they're defined by borders, they're defined by languages, they're defined by their names, all that kind of thing. Now here's a statement of government, in general, just government. Proverbs 28:2, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. I'm going to stop there. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. What that means is the more sin and the more iniquity in a country, the bigger the government gets. Many are the princes. The government just grows and grows and grows and grows. But, here's the last part of that, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. You get someone that understands and has some wisdom about whatever needs to be addressed, and he addresses it. You can prolong the state thereof, he said. And so that's just a general principle about government and government officials and the way a nation can either have help or grow itself into grow itself so big it just topples over, it's so huge. So here's a few things about nations, and just understand and remember. You get to Genesis 10, the Lord describes, here's Noah, here's his sons, and here's where they go. And here's their languages, here's where they end up, here's these nations, here's their boundaries, here's their these Gentiles and where they spread out. In the next couple chapters in Genesis, the Lord's going to call a man out, Abraham, and he's going to create his own nation. Out of these nations, he's going to take one man out and he's going to create his own nation. And so that nation will be a peculiar nation. It'll be a very odd nation. It will be a light to the Gentiles. In fact, that's said over and over in the Bible. Isaiah, multiple times in Isaiah and Romans, that Israel would be a light to the Gentiles. And so the Lord's going to create a nation for the benefit of all the nations. That would be the point. This nation would benefit all other nations. However, they were not obedient in some ways and all that kind of thing. But the Lord still used Israel and still does use Israel and still will use Israel in the future. But you get the idea. The point is that these are nations, and God deals with nations a certain way. And nations in general in the Bible, they've got their own kind of, it's almost like the lifespan of a human being. A lot of times the Lord will describe the life of a nation like he's describing a human being. For instance, we talked about a little bit this morning, he'll describe sometimes the nation of Israel, and he'll say, you're sick from the top of your head to the sole of your foot, and you got wounds, and you got sores, and he's just describing a diseased nation like he's just describing a human being. And there's life cycles to nations, and there's death cycles, and there's disease and corruption, and there's sickness in nations, and there's all these things that are very much like maybe a human body that gets a virus or something, or gets sick, or gets a disease, or gets a so just something in the body that makes it sick. And a nation on a much bigger scale will act the same way. It gets a sickness in it, and it starts to have these symptoms of the sickness and things like that. So interesting stuff about nations, I think, and the way the Lord deals with nations. It's not the same thing, though. Don't confuse it with the way he deals with individuals. I'll give you one example, and then we'll wrap it up. There's always individuals and nations that if the nation is judged or fails or whatever the case is, there's a lot of times individuals in the nation who don't go through the same, I don't want to say they don't go through the same trial, they just don't suffer the same destruction the nation did. I'll give you one example, and it's Jeremiah. For instance, when Jeremiah, when he knew the nation of Israel was going to be just completely routed by Babylon, one of the things the Lord told him was to make sure he got this property, this title deed to this property, because he said, in 70 years, this thing that's going on in your nation is going to be over with. And the people will return to their country, and I will judge Babylon for what they've done. So he understands the kind of the beginning and the end of the whole the judgment process. Like, this is a chastening process. It's going to take 70 years to get through this. And then once we're through it, the people of Israel are going to start moving back to the nation, back to their land, and start occupying their houses again. And so Jeremiah is privy to all that information. Unfortunately, the nation has to go through that process. And so his preaching was, Israel, just get ready, because you're about to go through the chastening hand of God. And if you fight back, you'll be destroyed in the process. But if you'll just accept the chastening hand of God, you'll survive the process and be able to come back to the land and enjoy the land once again. But the point is, God's going to chasten the nation. And what I'm saying is, Jeremiah ends up surviving the whole thing, while the nation, many in the nation, are just destroyed out of the nation. The king, Zedekiah, he gets hauled off and his eyes plucked out, and his whole family killed, and it's a horrible, horrible thing. So what I'm saying is, God deals with people individually, but he also deals with nations collectively. And so sometimes he'll judge a nation, but there will be individuals in the nation that don't, I don't want to say they don't suffer the same, I mean, if your nation fails, and you'll suffer for it, but the difference of surviving through it and thriving through all of that, it's up to individuals and the Lord, obviously, but there's a difference. There is a difference. The Lord burned down Sodom and Gomorrah, and he let Lot get out. So the point is, God can judge nations and save individuals while he's judging nations. That stuff happens. That can happen. So just because a nation gets judged doesn't mean every individual in that nation is going to hell or something like that. So I hope that's clear. But anyhow, those are nations. That's some things about nations in the Bible. And so just remember that term Gentile just means nations in the Bible. And there's one nation that's really under God in the Bible. That's the nation of Israel. Everyone else is just sort of, we're just nations. We're just heathen nations. And we can either prolong the nation or we can destroy the nation, depending on whether we forget God or whether we remember the Lord. So that's where you're at. So that's the nation. That's where the nation's there. So let's pray. We will get out of here. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Pray that you would help our nation. We are a sick nation, a very divided nation. Lord, we do pray that really, for all this election stuff, that it would just be a fair election, and all the cheating would be found out and prosecuted the way it needs to be prosecuted. Lord, I pray that you would do some similar things like you did in Esther. I mean, there's these sort of backroom plots here that it's pretty clear what's going on, but Lord, we don't have any power to do anything about it, but you do. And the other thing is, Lord, if even if Trump gets back in for 4 years, the people that hate the country aren't just going to disappear. And Lord, we want our country to remember you, and we want our country to magnify Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd help us as a nation. We need help. And there's nothing we can do. We're just these lowly folks that don't have any influence or anything that we can do to stave off corruption or anything like that. But you can. Lord, you can do it. You can change the course of our future. You can give us the representation in the government that I think the people actually want. Lord, we don't look to a president for salvation, but it sure is nice to have good leadership. And you did say in Timothy to pray for those in authority so that we could live quiet and peaceable lives. And that's what we're praying for. Lord, I pray that you would help our country, help our leadership, help those that want to do the right thing, and protect the integrity of the election process. And Lord, help us. We just need help. I pray it's been helpful this evening to go over the stuff about nations in the Bible. Thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.